We praise you, Lord. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, for all the wonderful scriptures and promises you've given us. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us authority over all. You said all the enemy. And I thank you, Lord, we're going to do some of that tonight. We're going to put a foot upon the enemy. And I thank you, Lord, for allowing us the privilege and the honor of stepping on Satan in the name of Jesus right now. I command every word curse spoken against this fellowship and the local too. Cast down as null and void in the name of Jesus. And I ask and I pray for complete deliverance from everything that the enemy has thrown at us in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that it is done, that the enemy has been put on notice. You will cease your war against us in Jesus' name. The word says it. We believe it. And it's done. And in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus right now. I thank you, Lord, for freedom for all who have been bound in this fellowship. In Jesus' name, that they are free from all of these curses that have been spoken against us. I thank you, Lord, for complete freedom to do the things that you have us to do, Father. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you place it in each and every one of us to keep up the battle and to pray to Psalms 91 over their lives, their families, and the people around them. And not only that, to pray the blood of Jesus covers them too, Lord, and I thank you for it. And I thank you, Father, that we have a hedge of protection of a wall of fire around each and every one of us. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, that the battle and the war has already been won. I thank you for it. Everything that the enemy has thrown at us, I thank you, Lord, that it goes back. You said to toss it back, to have the angels toss it back to them. And that's what we're doing. We're tossing it back in the laps of the enemy. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, that this business is finished in Jesus' name. I bring down, Lord, you gave us authority over all principalities, powers, and all of that stuff in the air. You gave it to us. You said we are over it. And so we command you to cease it right now. In Jesus' name, cease your attacks now in the name of Jesus upon the local and the outreach in the name of Jesus. And Father, I praise you and I glorify you that there's not going to be one more curse that will be received in this fellowship worldwide in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Lord, that you have already given us the victory in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? We're out of here. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for leading us tonight, guiding us into the things you'd have us to do and to talk about. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father.
God, I'd like to pray. Yep. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, God, for who you are, Lord. You're our great and mighty King and our victory, Lord. You are our refuge and fortress. And when we call on your name and we praise you and thank you and speak the promises, Lord, we believe we have received, Father. I thank you, Lord, for boldness of faith before your throne, Lord, at all times. God, that we can come to you and pray and intercede for one another. And help us all, Lord, to be wearing the armor of God always. And to be mindful of you and your word and take captive every thought into the obedience of the Lord Jesus and not accept anything of the enemy, to recognize what it is and to understand that you see us perfectly holy and righteous and without flaw and that our sins were nailed to that cross, and the devil can't accuse us of anything. And when he does, we say no. We say no because we're overcomers. We don't accept his lies and accusations against us, and we fight. And we fight for one another. And thank you, Lord, for bonding us together in unity, unity of the Spirit and unity of love, and that there is nothing that can break that. Nothing. And I thank you, Lord, that you cover us with your love, and you cover us with your holy angels, and you cover us as with a wall of fire round about us, Father. I pray for strength of soul, encouragement, and lifting up to anyone who has been hit and cast down, Lord, that we are picking each other up and lifting them up, Lord, to you. And I thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've given us, the authority you've given us, the knowledge of your word, to use it and be mindful, watchful, and sober, and always being obedient to you. When you put something on our heart or someone on our heart, that we take that and we're obedient to pray for them, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for keeping us all together, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your word is power, your name is power, and our enemies are already defeated. And we keep reminding them they are defeated and we are the victors in Christ Jesus. All glory to you, God. We praise you, Lord. We exalt you. We love you. We adore you. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, God. We glorify you. We want to glorify our Father in heaven, just as Jesus did. Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Fill us all up, Lord, a fresh anointing every day, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fill us up every day, Lord, and give us the strength and the anointing we need, the wisdom we need, the discernment we need. And whatever lack that we may think we have, we can just go to you and ask and receive. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the boldness of faith that we have in Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
It's written in your word in Galatians 3 and 13. It's your son redeemed us. Says you redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And thank you, Lord, for that. And Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You get off of this fellowship right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for complete freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we do this so that you would be glorified in heaven. You could sit down and you could see and say, look at my people down there warring against this enemy. And I thank you for it. Go down there, angels, and help them out. Get this war over. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory, Father. God, I'm going to see to you, Makata. She's still in the book. Anybody else? 1 Corinthians 15:27. He has put all things in subjection under his feet. In the name of Jesus, we put you under our feet and stomp you into the dust. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. It is done. It is written that we rebuke you, Satan, from coming around and trying anything else. God, I'm going to see to the
Amen. It is written, the demons are all subject unto us in your name, Lord Jesus, and yes, they have to obey us. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Amen. He said, and it is written in Hebrews 13:5, I will never, he said never, leave you or forsake you. And I thank you, Father, that it is done, that you are completely winning our battles for us. We don't have to do anything, speak it, and it's done. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? That enemy's on the run. He's on the run. Not only that, he's defeated. He said we wouldn't be put to shame if we believe, Lord, and I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, hallelujah. I thank you and I praise you, Father, for helping us out here. Not only helping us out, but doing the battle for it. We're going to praise you too, Lord. We're going to praise you because you said put the praisers out front and let them win the battle. Lord, hallelujah. So, Lord, I'm going to do that right now. In the name of Jesus, we're going to have some fun. Lord, be to God.
might as well put your hands together.
Glory, hallelujah. You can't have my increase, no.
You can't have my family.
Huh? No, you can't. You can't have my family. You can't have my increase. You can't have nothing. How's that? But the dust of my feet, that's it. That's all you get. You don't even get that. I'm going to get you out from under my feet, glory to God. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our power. And I praise you, Father, because you're the one that gets your glory. You're the one that does all the work. We just obey what your word says. Speak the word, and you do the rest. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Amen, Simon. Amen. Anybody got a testimony? How many of you know we already won? Glory to God, that's a testimony in itself. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord, that we have won the battle. Actually, if you read the back of the book, it said we won the war, too. What I'm talking about. Lord of God. Thank you, Jesus. But we have. We've won the war. All we have to do is hang in there, endure in our faith to the end, and we'll see it all. That's right, Julie. We get it all in Christ Jesus. He gave us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's much more power than the atomic bombs. That's resurrection power. Whew, Lord of God. Thank you, Jesus. You speak it, and it's done. That's what God wants out of us. He wants us to walk boldly against the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Okay. Has anybody got anything they want to share? What is that? Let's see. Safe travels for Isaac and Morgan tomorrow. They're driving down to Florida to move their stuff. Lord, we just ask that you go along with Ivan and Morgan as they run down to Florida and get the stuff that they need to get on back safely. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for both of them, and that this would be an awesome time together with them, that Isaac would be able to minister, and Morgan too. Morgan would be able to minister as well. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I believe it. Y'all believe it? Safe trip all the way there and back. It's going to not take it near as long as they thought it would. In the name of Jesus. Well, if they're going to do it in one day, that's going to be a pretty good trip. Whew. Two days, okay. I kind of figured it might take that long. All right, anyone else? Lord, we thank you for bringing down the deep state and the nation too. Bring them all down, Lord. Bring them all down. We praise you for it, Father. Lord be to God. I see where poor old Joe tripped again. Oh, my. Drain the swamp. That's right. Yeah, Missy.
I watched a video about this pastor talking about this book, the LGBTQ book that was in the school for, like they say, for 10 years old and older. And it just explicit description of, I mean, it's pornographic. It's horrible. And he was giving the school board a ride active, right? He was reading to him what it was, and they asked him to stop. And he said, if you don't want to hear it, why do you have it for our children? You know, yeah. Now it's not in the curriculum, but it's a book that's there for the kids to read. It's horrifying. Yeah. And my thought is, Lord, bring your true elect people to the understanding they need to take their children out of the world system schools, the schools, and put them, homeschool them, bring them home and homeschool them and teach them right, to make that sacrifice in Jesus' name.
Either that or take control of the schools again like they used to.
It's
either one.
It's the world.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's corrupt. Yeah. To even allow that in the school district, it shows me that people aren't watching what's going on in the schools. Mm. But anyway, Lord, we thank you for bringing it all down. And just like Missy said, those of yours who elect, Lord, place it in their hearts to bring them out of it. Bring them home. Mama quit working and go to teaching.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And that includes both my daughter-in-laws. I'm believing for that. A little more than 2 years, Blake's going to be in kindergarten. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord,
how would you like for him to see some of that transgender garbage?
Well, I sent that to both my daughter-in-laws, Brooke and Megan, and asked them if this is like an issue in the schools that they're in. I haven't heard anything yet. Just letting them know, you know, kind of like keep your eyes peeled. And it's like, and I was bold enough to tell Brooke that one day her and Megan are going to be teaching their own children. Because I know that it's going to get to the point where my sons and daughter-in-laws are going to be in the kingdom, and they're going to want no parts of it. So thank you, Lord. I make that declaration. Mm-hmm. Decree by faith. It is done. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
All right, anyone else? Which one tripped, Tom Pat? I don't know which one. Number 2, 3, 4. I don't know which one it is. Oh, thank you, Lord. If I wasn't, well, we wouldn't record, but I could tell you some things, but I ain't doing anything. Hey, Rihanna Claire. So nice to have y'all with us. God, I got Tasmania back on the map. Lord, I got.
Hello, everyone. Good to see you.
Hello. Okay. Anyone else need prayer, or would like to pray about something, or would just like to talk about something? I tell you, I've been busy all day. Getting strawberries and capping them, you know, real busy stuff. Oh, my, yeah. Hey, Josie. So I don't have a whole lot to talk about tonight. Praise God. So what's up with everybody? Anybody got something they'd like to share? All right. Y'all have a good time. I'll see y'all. Oh, okay. Go ahead, Pat.
I'll prime the pump. The Lord has had me in 1 John for the last couple months. And he's really opening up my eyes to make the connection between, you know, he said that Jesus said, there is a new commandment I give you, and that is that you love one another. Actually, I'm starting to talk about this, but I haven't really completed, I guess, a study, but I just wanted to encourage everybody that the Lord, when he said he gave us a new commandment to love one another, that makes it creates and created a standard for us in the body. That I don't think, you know, I don't think I really understood as much as I feel kind of like I don't have anything to say, but I would like to say something about it, because it's the Lord is definitely focusing on this, and it's such a powerful thing that, you know, he said that by this shall the world know that you are my disciples. And if you go through the book of John, 1 John, And he kind of lays out the foundation of it in the first chapter, related to forgiveness, mercy, confession, being open and honest before God, and giving us that, the tools to do that through confession. And then moves in the second chapter of 1 John, moves into the various different connections of that commandment of loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. And since I'm just priming the pump here, I can't really develop this point, but I wanted to just, while I have the floor, I want to read a couple. In the second chapter in verse 3, he says, "And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily the love of God has been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abided in him ought also to walk as he walked." And then in verse 9, he said, "He that saith that he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him." And the Lord has taught me a lot about this occasion of stumbling, or that I think that word is scandalon or something in the Greek, and has to do with there is no ability to be offended. There's no environment for offense within us. Meaning, being perfected in this love, which is brought out through this commandment of loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, that motivates us to continue toward that perfection or that completeness of love. And part of that process is that love removes that environment within us that allows us to be offended, or shall we say, gives us the right to be offended, or to be offensive to others, or take offense from others. So there's a whole thing there that as I was studying that, Paul said that, I think in Acts, he said, "I make it a point to be free of offense towards God and man." And this is connected with this love of the brethren. And he speaks a lot about it. He says, but in verse 11, he says, "But he that hateth his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and knows not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." I think it is the family is, I could say that the family is a microcosm of what happens in this process when we, I think, when we have to learn to relate to our brothers and sisters and, you know, learn to submit to our parents and learn to train up our children and nurture and admonition of the Lord, etc. And all these things come together to develop within us, or to develop within us love, because it stirs up within us those things that the close confines of a family, or shall we say the close confines of the body of Christ, coming together will have the tendency. And I'm going to say, especially in a situation probably where you guys are in Tennessee there, and in a very close confines and rubbing elbows with everybody type of thing, you tend to see things or experience things in a little closer context than we do maybe out here in the internet world. But the concept is that when we have such close relationships with each other, there's a tendency to stir up things within us as individuals that of the flesh that run contrary to love. And as it comes up in that perfect environment, we're able to deal with it, ask God, thank him for the opportunity that he brings these things out in our lives, but also through the first chapter of 1 John, we can confess our sins and be cleansed and trust God to bring us through this process. But just seeing how this, when Jesus gave us that new commandment to love one another, I believe it's because that is the crucible by which he uses to weed out and smoke out all that which opposes love and perfects love within us. So, and I'm going to run over here. And if you look in chapter 3, the same thing, you can go through there and you can love one. This is the message which we had, verse 11 in chapter 3. For this is the message which we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. And wherefore, why did he slay him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life. And I'm just going to say, we can read through these verses, and there's a tendency to, say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm not a murderer. That doesn't have anything to do with me. And blow right by these verses. But, you know, we all, the Lord reveals to us at a bit by bit rate. A little here, a little there, as we become, and I speak this, I'm speaking to myself here, that we become aware of certain things through the process of life here, and it smokes out other areas of the flesh or the carnal perspective within us that we hadn't thought about before. And so we can take the principle of these things where and you allow God to use it to bring out the impurities or the imperfections of our love and cleanse us through this process through that motivation or that commandment to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that word love means that we have to address everything. If we have judgmental attitudes or we feel the right to be able to criticize or whatever it would be. God, you know, wants us to know that those things run contrary to his commandment of loving your brother, sister in Christ. So I don't know. I just thought I would, toss that out. If you believe me, you can read all the way. Every chapter in First John is the same theme. And this is the commandment, verse 23 in chapter 3. This is a commandment that we should believe in the name of the Son of Jesus, of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, even as he gave us commandment. He that keepeth his commandments abides in him and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by his Spirit, which he gave us. I'm just going to read something that, the other day that I got in chapter 2, verse 3, it says, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And of course, these commandments, one of which is to love one another. But in that, hereby we know that we know him, the first step in this process is being enlightened to a particular word of God. We probably have read over that verse time and time again in the past, but this time the Spirit attracts our attention to a certain aspect of that word. Somehow, the unanswered question in our heart we currently have, which creates a certain dissonance in our soul, locks onto the frequency of the truth revealed in God's word as we discover it, and we believe it. We begin to harmonize with that truth. And as the dissonance in our soul decreases, and we begin to experience peace. This is the first step. And unfortunately, where we are tempted to remain. This, however, is not what this verse is referring to. And I'll read the verse again. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. This verse does not say if we believe his commandments, but it says if we keep his commandments. The word keep is a word that means maintaining custody of the thing. To keep something infers that someone will attempt to take it from you. And that's precisely what the Lord brings into our life in order to bring about within our, quote, knowing of him, in order to bring about within us our knowing of him. This first phase of enlightenment is totally by his grace of opening up our spiritual eyes to understand something, a of which we had absolutely no participation in. Sorry, I'm getting wordy here. However, the next phase is where Jesus enlists our will in order to participate in this process of maintaining our custody of this truth in the face of external forces attempting to remove it. This is where the battle begins within us. This is where the overcoming, referred to in Jesus's messages to the churches in Revelation, come in, and where we learn to rest in the authority of that word. This is also pictured in the parable of the sower, where the Gospels in Mark 14 or 4:14, where three of the four examples of the sowers of the seed, or the seed being sown, three of the four examples failed to keep his word, but allowed it to be removed by circumstances. Only one of the four was able to enter into the rest of, quote, knowing they knew God. So, that's all I wanted to say. I just thought I would prime the pump, and anybody else can speak into it if they want.
Okay, floor's open.
Something that was interesting, Pat, that you mentioned there was, it kind of stood out where Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, to love one another. But that wasn't a command before. Were they not supposed to love each other before? You know, so surely those commands they had and the laws, they would have at some point thought it was love. So it makes you wonder, it makes you think, what does he then mean? Because they loved one another. You know what? But now he says, no, I give you a new commandment. You must love one another. Well, I thought we were loving each other, but now it makes you think that he means a different kind of love, right? And he means love your enemies. he means be unoffendable. We listened to the book by that title recently with the kids, the audio book. And this man, who's a pastor's son, and he himself was a pastor and a very good Christian his whole life, did nothing wrong, you know. And he went on this journey to become unoffendable, completely unoffendable, to not be offended by anything. And like what the word says, and it's his journey on that, it was hilarious, but it was very confronting as well. How he, the kids are giggling because they know that there was some good examples in there where he's like, you know, what does it mean? What is righteous anger? He goes through that as well. Is there such a thing? And there isn't. You know, it was very, very interesting. But I think that is absolute love, right? When nobody can offend you. It's not because you're prideful. If you're prideful, you get offended very quickly. It's when you are humble and meek and gentle and lowly, like Jesus was, then nothing will offend you. And that's very, very interesting that he set out on this kind of path to be unoffendable, and he's obviously still trying it, but consciously tried to do it. And then you can't help but love, because when you're offended, you cannot love. But I just thought that's very interesting, that comment, a new commandment I give you, after humans have been on the planet for how long? And his chosen people have had the laws and all those things for how long, and they loved God and they loved each other. And he goes, no, I'm going to give you something new. What, how to just love each other.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Judith.
Yeah, just to tack on to that, Rihanna, I was just thinking, it's like, and Jesus said, it's like, we're to love each other like Jesus loved us, you know. And how did he love? I mean, you know, he corrected them. He corrected his disciples when they were wrong, you know, but when they made mistakes, you know, he taught them, and they kept following him because they knew he had the truth. You know, just, you know, he just, they were drawn to him because they were chosen too. But, you know, it's like he loved them. He even loved Judas, knowing from the beginning who he was. He didn't treat him any differently. So I just think that's pretty important. That's all. Thanks.
Go ahead, Andrew.
No, Jesus was zealous over the temple. And he did some things in that physical temple. Some people might say, well, you see, no, he wasn't so loving there. But he was kind of for us, because he was doing something still in the time of the Old Testament that we're supposed to have a zeal for our temple. And in our temple is that light we're supposed to have, that righteousness that we want to acquire through the blessing, through the 9 blessings there. And, you know, God said something in the book of Isaiah, and that was, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So, you know, God has to fulfill this obedient word that he spoke 700 years before Christ for this covenant we're in now. So he gave us that love. He's obeying himself to transpose that love upon us so that we can also give that love to each other. And, you know, sometimes we could be faced with something just with a very worldly person like I had today happen to me. I was going to the grocery store to pick up some ice cream cones for tonight, and I got some coupons. So we have Ben had two. I only had one.
All right.
And I actually coaxed him into having another one. And the sad thing is there was a passive person between our parking lot and the grocery store next door, and he was let's just say a person that did drugs, okay? And his pants were falling down and everything. And I didn't bring my phone with me because I just wanted to go, eh? And so other people were there, and they did phone the police, and I saw them coming as I was coming out of the store, because you have to wait for them to come. And I guess they took care of that guy. But, you know, you don't really think sometimes of praying for someone, you know, that the Lord would draw him closer. I prayed for him today when I realized, as we listened to Wednesday again, for me, today, me and Ben listened to yesterday's Bible study before we started. And then I thought, you know, I should have prayed for that guy. And so I did pray for him that God would do a John 6:44 on him to draw him closer. It was a short prayer, you know, draw this person, Lord, show him that he's, you know, doesn't really have a life, you know, he's out there passed out in on the grass. And so even with these small things, you know, we don't know what the Lord will do. Does he remember those small prayers that we've been saying for such a long time? You know, does he keep them in storage there, or does he just forget about them? No, he's concerned about them, and sometimes we might even forget about some of the things we pray for. And and in his name shall the Gentiles trust, and his love has gone out for 2,000 years so that we could trust in him. I mean, it's almost like a give and take for that trust. A good verse is, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And there's that word blessed again, so we've got it. Because we get all those blessings from Ephesians 1 and 3, right? So that was cool. I say that one, you know, sometimes it rolls off your lips, some of these verses, you know. So I just Now, this is so important to have the love. And he's got to give it to us in order for us to give it out. And I'm sure Pat ran into that verse in 1 John 4:19, I think it is. And I don't think we can have any sanctification without this love being given to us. You know, and we got the first fruit of the Spirit. But that Spirit is in the light. In the light, because the light is there with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, lights your lamp inside of your tabernacle. And it's there in the knowledge. It's there in the wisdom. It's there in the fear of the Lord. It's there with the Spirit of the Lord. It's there with the strength of the Lord. And it's there with the understanding. And it's there with the teaching. And that's your lamp. It's right in your soul. It lights up your soul. And the brighter it gets, the better it gets. The more fruit it has as it gets brighter too. Just like star glory is different from moon glory and different from sun glory. Each star differs in glory. Here's a light source. And you know that light is a message to the seven churches. The stars are light, and the lampstand is light. And he had I call it a corporate body lampstand, but each person has to have his own individual lamp within his own temple, and we have to have a great seal for our temple too. And you know what happened? Jesus actually did some miracles in the temple too. And he does them through our temple too. So praise and glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I didn't know I was going to say all that. Praise God.
Amen. Anyone else? Let me throw one out there. Can I throw one out there? Out of 1 John too, Patrick. Let me see if I can put it up there. John 2:20. And you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now we can get real deep here. What is he talking about here? And you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know, how do I know all things? That's the question.
But all things wasn't there in the original, so it could be you and you know all.
Who knows all?
Yeah. Could mean the same thing. I'm just putting that there.
Jesus has all wisdom and knowledge, treasures of knowledge, doesn't he? And if he has all treasures of knowledge, he's in me. Then if he's in me, then what? And also the Holy Spirit is in me, and his spirit and my spirit are connected. And if we are connected, then I have every bit of knowledge that he does. But how do I access it? Now that is the question you need to ask. Does anybody know? I know it's kind of short notice, but I always thought that was an intriguing verse, and I did a little bit of studying on it. Who has all the gifts? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Yes,
You don't sound like the Giuliano. It is really, audio is really distorted. Can't hear anything now. It's a whole lot better than it was before, though. No, nothing. No, you sound like a bird that's been choked. I don't know what the deal is, but it's not working for you. Make sure it's plugged in real good.
Maybe it's time for new Bluetooth.
Yeah, maybe.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, but I can't hear you. Speak.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I just had to change my speaker. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. All right.
That's okay.
Okay, well, I was going to say it's from Proverbs chapter 2. First, I'm just going to read for a little bit here, first view. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, and discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. When I would read that after I first got, not first got saved, but was reading the Proverbs and stuff, and the Lord was working in me, but it said to cry out for wisdom, and it said just, you know, to cry out for wisdom and understanding. So I kept doing that. I kept asking God, I want wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Give me insight. You made me. You created me. You know how I think. I prayed those scriptures over myself for a long time, and I still pray for those things. But it's like, so it's Jesus is the wisdom of God. He is the Word of God. He is the wisdom of God. And it says we are to have the mind of Christ. So if we have the mind of Christ, and like Michael, what you said, we know everything. We may not have attained to it yet, but it says we have it.
Amen. That's exactly right. And how do we access it? And go ahead, Pat.
I was just reading that in the context there in 2:20, where he said, because it's in the context, he's warning us about those that those that have the Antichrist spirit, little children. It's the last hour, and as you heard that Antichrist cometh, even now have there arisen many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last hour. Interesting. He's talking, you know, John is talking about being the last hour when 2,000 years ago. He ought to see how late it is now. But anyway, they went out from us and were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. And then your verse 2 said, and ye have an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I've not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? And obviously, those that love Jesus are not going to deny Jesus the Christ. So that denial or that spirit is not within us. Even that he that denieth the Father and the Son, and then said, who don't denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that confesseth the Son hath a Father also. In verse 24, he says, as for you, let that abide in you, which he heard from the beginning. If that which he heard from the beginning abide in you, he also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise which he promised us, life eternal. And when you said, how do we access that, or I remember the word you used, but how do we obtain that? I believe we obtain it by faith, resting and abiding in Jesus in the Father, abiding in his ability to provide to us at a moment's notice when we need it, at the time we need it. So I would say as we abide in Christ, it's like I'm going to say it's like you don't need the whole library in the back of your pocket packing it around. You just need to know whatever applies to whatever you're dealing with at the time. It's like it kind of equates in a certain way that very wealthy mega billionaires they don't carry around $1 billion in their pocket all the time. Those resources are where they need to be, but they don't have to carry them with them, type of thing. Maybe that doesn't apply, but so we don't need, and this is totally my opinion, we don't need all the knowledge that exists in the world. We only need Jesus, who gives us what we need at the time we need it. So anyway, I guess that's what I'm thinking about in those verses, Michael.
Okay. Yeah. How many of you have heard of William Branham? Okay. This man, William Branham, had knowledge that was supernatural. And how did he access that knowledge? Through the gifts are from who? The Holy Spirit. And if the gifts are from the Holy Spirit, that's how we access it. You access the knowledge through the Holy Spirit. He knows all because he's part of it. And when you know what was fascinating about him, I'll just tell you a little bit about him, give you an idea of the knowledge that the Holy Spirit had working through him. He would get an inspiration to say something, and it might not be but just a word or two. But once he started talking, the Holy Spirit would take over and finish. He would say this, Pat. He would say, there's a lady up in the balcony, four rows up, 23rd seat down. You just got back from the doctor with a bad report of cancer in your colon. Stand up and praise God, because God's just took it from you. And you'd hear this lady jump up and down and, you know, scream and holler and all that stuff, that she was healed. And he was, never has anybody ever in this time period that we're in ever been as accurate with the word of knowledge as he was. And he utilized the Holy Spirit to do it. If you, like, it's just like Lake, when he would speak in tongues, and he'd say, Lord, interpret the tongues for me, because he'd already walked out, he'd spoken in tongues, and he'd say on the way back, and please interpret the tongues for me. And he would start writing. He would start writing. And all he had to do was start. And then the Holy Spirit would take over. And he'd keep writing and keep writing and whatever the Holy Spirit inspired him to do. It's a faith thing, like you said, Pat. It's a faith thing. You have to know, and I'm learning this myself, you have to know how to speak it out. Like, words of knowledge are like that. You speak it out. What you don't know until you start speaking. You speak it out, and it just comes out. I know some of y'all have done that, if not all of you have done that at one time or another. You didn't know what you were going to say until you opened your mouth and said it, right? That's how this works. That's how all wisdom works. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Who's the Holy One? That's where the gifts come from. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that works in all of us. It's an awesome thing that the Lord has allowed us to access. Anybody got anything else they'd like to add to this? God's preparing his people to do the signs and wonders in this day ahead, days ahead. And he's teaching us all how to work in the supernatural. Not that that's the most important thing. The most important thing, of course, is the gospel, getting it out. But in order to get some people's attention, sometimes you got to do a little bit of supernatural stuff, like healing people and all of this, and words of knowledge and those kind of things, to get their attention. And that's what's going to bring on this great revival. Any questions or any answers? Does anybody see anything wrong with what I just said? I'm learning too, so that's why I'm asking. But that's the way I see it. I see it that it's the Holy Spirit that does it, because he's the one that gives out the gifts. And the gifts are already there. We have access to all the gifts as you need them. And who was it was talking about? I think it was it you, Julie? Was talking about, you asked the Lord, you used those scriptures to get wisdom and revelations into the word, or whatever it was that you were seeking, and it came because of your persistence. And that's what it takes.
Yeah. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, you know. Yeah. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And, you know, for me, it was just, you know, I didn't have a lot of religious stuff that stayed with me as far as these things that I held on to. So when Lord got a hold of me and he saved me, it was like I started reading the word and asked him to give me understanding of this word because I didn't understand a lot of it. You know, when you first get saved and you start reading the Bible, it's like, you know, it doesn't make sense to you. It's like, well, Lord, give me understanding. If you, this is your word, you want me to understand this, you tell me to seek you. I want understanding. I want to know who you are. How am I supposed to know you unless I can understand what your word is? You know, so that was just came to him with that mindset, I guess, that simple mindset. I want to understand what you're saying. So I started asking him, you know, and I kept asking him. You know, he's faithful. You know, he wants us to understand what he's saying. You know.
Yeah, but just like he says in that verse of John 2:20, you already know all things. You already know it. And you should be able to, at some point in time, you know, we have to develop into these things, but at some point in time, you ought to be able to access anything you need at any time that you need when the need arises. It was amazing to watch William Branham when he would work. If y'all had ever seen him, you know what I'm talking about. He was a very humble guy. He said, have we ever met? No, never saw you before. Okay. Do I know you at all? No, I never met you. All right. Well, here's the deal. And he'd roll through a bunch of stuff. And, of course, they'd be going nuts, you know. He said, now, go and be healed. But off they go be healed. But he had a wonderful, wonderful. He just got in some error later on in his year. But he was an amazing guy that we all can be the same thing. We all have access to the same Holy Spirit. And God. Yeah, Pat.
So I got a question. I had heard that he, I don't know, fell away or had a problem later on in his life or whatever. I didn't really read anything on it. But there's a tendency, I think, to throw the baby out with the bathwater type thing. You know, if like the scripture in Ezekiel says that, you know, if a man, a righteous man turn away from his righteousness and that his righteousness that will not be applied to him, you know, basically, and vice versa. If an unrighteous man turned from him his unrighteousness and turned to righteousness, there's a whole thing. I think it's in Ezekiel 18 or whatever. But how do we, you know, many of the things that William Branham taught, his ministry, the things that influence, but how do we process that if later on in life he fell away from God? How would you, again, well, I'm only saying this, I don't know if he did fall away from God. I don't even know what the issue was there at the end.
I don't think he fell away from God. I think he got into error. And the way he got into error, he started listening to the people around him, telling him, hey man, you're so cool, you know, you have the Elijah anointing. And I believe that was the one that they used. And he got rid of all of the guys that were his checkmate. You know what I mean? The people, yes, that would tell him, said, no, you need to back off of that. Quit the teaching and just do what God has you to do. And that's healing the sick, delivering them, and all of those things he had been doing, all of his ministry. But he got into trying to teach, and that wasn't his calling. And I don't think he fell away. I've never even mentioned, heard anything about that. But I do know that he got into a little bit of error, thinking he was somebody. Go ahead, Rhea. You might know a little more than I do about him.
We've only just started reading about Branham, but we've been going through these, a couple of them. we read about Lake, we read about A.A. Allen and Smith Wigglesworth. And one thing, there's a couple of things that are interesting there, but I suppose one thing, Pat, that we've noticed is that those guys had enemies, and their biggest enemies were the other churches. Yeah. They didn't like seeing these things. And a lot of the stuff that they made up for them, especially towards the end of their lives, I think they were waiting for them to kind of, you know, get a disease or a cancer or something so they can go, ha, look, you know, he's false. And also they persecuted them and came after them. So a lot of these stories about them falling away is one, not, you know, most likely not true either. A.A. Allen, I think that they framed with the drinking. That was the one that they framed him. They put the thing in his drink when he went out, and then he got drunk or whatever, and then they used that to completely ruin his name. And then Wigglesworth with the punching of the lady in the stomach and that kind of stuff that he did. They ran quite wild with that as well. But I think there's probably still there's still a question to be answered. That, I mean, it's very possible that not maybe these men, but maybe others that have then fallen away at the end. So the question then still lies: what do you do with some of the earlier work? Do you throw all of it out? I mean, a more modern example is maybe a guy like, well, he wasn't faith healer; he was just an into apologetics, but Rabbi Zacharias. And he later on came out that he was completely in sin, and I think that's where, I mean, I agree with Michael. There is for me a definite distinction where I would not even touch any of Rabbi's stuff. I wouldn't even listen to any of that because he was living in willful sin while he was doing these things. That's maybe a little bit different to someone who goes into error or who has error. I mean, does Derek Prince have error? Yes, you know, but some of his earlier stuff he was anointed to, and we've listened to it. Would I listen to it now again? Maybe not. I mean, we've discussed this before in here as well, right? Like there's such a fine line. Like, I think we can learn from those stories, and especially with the faith healing ones, they're always very controversial, I suppose. And I think it's because they've got so many enemies, and the enemies are from other Christians and from other churches who hate that kind of thing. So it makes it very difficult to dig through the weeds there. But I take those as testimonies. That's how I kind of look at it. I don't look to those men to teach me any doctrine about end times or anything. I just look at these testimonies of what God has done. And in that, there shouldn't be any false doctrine or leaven maybe that would come into my life. I'm happy to hear about those and praise the Lord and go, yep, I believe that tongues, healing, raising from the dead, that all those things happen, and that the Lord has put all these men and even some women like on this in certain times in history to say that it hasn't fallen away. It has continued throughout since Jesus' time till now. It's still happening. That's what kind of excites me about that, is that they weren't anything special. They just had calling on their lives. They weren't, you know, particularly well learned. They weren't particularly, well raised or anything like that. They just had that calling, and then they just believed the word. And then all of this started happening. That's what I think. I take it as testimonies. But I wouldn't look at them for a doctrine, maybe if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. But that's just me.
I'm glad you brought that up. The thing that you need to look at is how they got to the position where they were at the time that they were doing all these supernatural miracles. And the one thing that stood out to me about Lake, Branham, Kenneth Hagin, all of these great faith men of God and that's what I'm going to call them, is one thing. They were dedicated to the Lord God Almighty, and they ran after him in their early life with all their hearts, with all their hearts. And when they did, the Lord answered their call with these great gifts of him. Another one is Mariah Woodworth Edwards. I don't know if any of you ever heard of her, but she was a wonderful lady of faith. And she would go into a trance for hours after healing a bunch of people. She would go into a trance. It wouldn't, maybe not even anybody, but she would go into a trance. But when she came out of it, ooh, get back Loretta, because I'm telling you, it's supernatural. The power of God was all over. And people from all over, from miles around, would hit their knees in repentance because of what she was doing. And she wasn't preaching the gospel. She wasn't teaching anything. She was just seeing people healed. What little bit I know about her, that's what I've seen. So I don't know if she got into teaching or anything like that, but I know Lake really liked her, and he called her Mother Edder. And another one was, well, go ahead, Pat.
Well, trying to find my mute. So it's interesting that those guys, I mean, what I'm kind of looking at, what is happening now? Where has the Lord, what has he been teaching us for the last 10 years? But being able to stand upon the word that he has given us, even in the midst of opposition. And I mean, King David, even, you know, scriptures and the stories of him running from Saul and Saul trying to kill him and all of the opposition there and everything. But, and so that may have had a factor in these past leaders' lives that we're referring to here. It may have been something there. There's also the factor that I believe that these people were in the environment of the Nicolaitan age of the church. Even some of the great revivalists, Charles Finney and everything, who had miraculous people being saved and just amazing revivals. If you go back and read some of this stuff, it was all in the context of the Nicolaitan church system of that day. And I think I kind of look, back at some of these people. If you were to read some of the stuff of Martin Luther, I mean, God definitely used him to bring about a certain change in Christianity. The 99 thesis on the wall of the Catholic Church, shall we say, created a ripple effect in Christianity which I believe God wanted at the time. But if you were to, I've read things that Martin Luther actually, because God so used him to bring about the awareness in the Christian mentality of that time of faith, salvation by faith, and not of works connected to the works of the religious system. But because he was so focused on that, he actually saw some of the things in the book of James. I believe the thing that says, I will show you my faith by my works, that flipped Martin Luther out. He thought the book of James should have been cast out of the Bible. You know, was he right? No, he certainly was not right. He was in error in what he was thinking, but God used him to bring about a certain revealing of truth in that time frame. So I mean, when I look at the thing, you can see various different phases of history where God is bringing something to the surface, so that we in Christianity can have that as like the cloud of witnesses. It's there as an example, and you can consider those things and think about those things. And so maybe these people like William Branham, maybe pronouncing that wrong, Lake, they brought about certain things and raised our awareness in certain aspects of the Spirit of God and the truth that's there available. And I think it's all for this end time, this end time work that God is doing in the world today. And I was just thinking about it. Look at how devastatingly wicked our society is around us now. I mean, when people are so far away from God's word that they don't know if they're a man or a woman. And we have a Supreme Court justice that may not know that either. We are in... If we don't realize right now that there's no amount of legislation or no political force on the planet that is going to set this thing straight, there's only one thing, and that is God's power breaking through in His Spirit and changing hearts, and that is the only thing that's going to change this situation. So I don't know. I'm thinking of how Missy started this thing out in the beginning. We are in serious, this is serious, you know, we're in serious, sad shape, you know. But this is the darkness that God is allowing to come up so that the light can shine forth more clearly, I believe. So anyway. I'm through.
Amen. Isn't this the wickedest stuff you've ever seen before in your life? Golly. Sodom and Gomorrah was nothing to these half-baked people. I don't think they even hit half-baked. Okay. The thing that, like I was telling you a while ago, the thing that all of them had in common was running after the Lord with all their heart. Hagin did it. Lake did it. I can't think of any of them that hadn't done it. Branham did it early on in his life. He was a poor guy from Kentucky, I think, wasn't he? Was he from Kentucky? Yeah. I think that's where he was. And then A.A. Allen, same thing. He poor guy from Sulphur Rock, Arkansas. All right. Anybody else? Accessing that gift is just like Julie was talking about. Just ask the Lord to show it to you, teach you how to do that. That's what I'm doing. I'm actually asking the Lord, Lord, I want to walk in everything that you have for it, because we're going to need it in the days ahead to help the people. In order to, and I'll tell you something, that happens to every time that you go out there, is that the mainline denominational churches will come against you. And it doesn't make any difference whether Pentecostal or not. They'll all come against you. Because they didn't, you're not from their fellowship. All right, anybody else? I'm getting excited about what's coming up ahead myself. I really am. I'm getting excited and encouraged every moment because of the miracles that we're seeing on this outreach. The miracles that we're seeing on this outreach. I wish somebody had cataloged them already, because I'm telling you, we got a book full already. If you remember back at all the times that people came on with their testimony after all of us prayed and believed for them. And I can't tell you how much has been done here. That's just right here at this, on top of this mountain here, the things that we've seen. It's just amazing. Amazing. And talk about words of knowledge. We had a guy come in here, and if I said his name, you'd know who I was talking about. Well, we had a guy come in here that the Lord told David and me at the same time in different places in the house, get him out of here. That's happened at least twice. And we both got the word at the same time. And I'd go out and I said, David, he said, Michael, I got a word. I said, me too. Come on up. But that's God. He wants a clean fellowship. Yeah, Rio.
Isn't that also what that verse that you shared is talking about? It's talking about the same thing.
Same stuff. Same thing.
If you look at what it says there in the Numeric. In the Numeric New Testament, it says that it's talking about faction. They went out from us, but were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out so that they might be made manifest, that not all are of us. And it says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. You all know. It says, you chose... If I chose you, I think it goes on later where it says, I have not written to you because you know not the truth, but because you know it and because no lie is of the truth. So he's saying that you know the truth, right? He's chosen the ones that have a love for the truth, that know the truth and want to know it. And he put that in you. It's not of yourself, and you all know that, and that's that example you just gave, Michael and David, getting the same word. That's it. That's that, because you have the anointing from the Holy One. You know that man. You didn't have to study or think about it or prepare or do anything. It's just when the hour comes, the Holy Spirit will give you the utterances what you shall say. Yeah, go for it.
I had that happen to me once, Michael, when so there was a human that came to our house, and I knew the minute I saw that person, I knew that this was factious. But my flesh wanted to behave in one way. my flesh was ready to just close that door very nice and gently and move on with my nice, peaceful life. But that didn't happen because I had to be trained in that. I had to go through that fire. And so sometimes he'll let you know this is what it is and you have to love anyway, because he's going to take care of that. He's not going to let that prosper and flourish if you keep yourself clean, right? Like he's going to take that from, it's the Lord who does the harvest. It's the Lord who cleans up. It's not us who clean up. And well, that was what it was for me. So I'm not saying anything against what happened to you and David. You obviously have different roles. I had to learn something there. And I had to go to my cross there and love this human and give to this human. And the Lord took the human away anyway.
A similar example to Judas, that Jesus gave us that same example. He knew as well. He knew exactly, but he gave us that example to say love anyway, even if you know that this one is gonna bring the fire. This one's gonna bring the trial. That's what God wants. He ordains it that way. In fact, I think of it that even then in Jesus's big trial, when Judas betrayed Jesus, every single one of the disciples ran away. Every single one of them. They all left him. And that for me is a reminder to say, you cannot, even if you know someone is a Judas or whatever, you know, you got a revelation, you cannot be puffed up, or you have to remain humble, because every single one of those disciples ran away, fled. Some of them even naked. They were scared. They all left him. And they all would have agreed with Peter. Peter was just the one who said, no, I will never forsake you. He's just the one who spoke. They all would have said the same thing in their heart. Yeah. No, I'm with you there, Peter. I won't either. If they were questioned, and every single one of them in his hour of need, they left him. And that's very humbling, because I sometimes wonder, what does that look like in the parallel, the type of the tribulation? Because that was right in the middle then of that type. You know, what does that look like? It's not all fall away, all will forsake him at one point, or be that scared. That's a fearful thing to ponder on.
Well, one thing that we have that they didn't have at that time was the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's one thing that we have an advantage of. But you're right in the fact that it's a learning process, this whole thing that we're doing. We had a person come here. This is another instance. We had a person come here that we wanted to help out and going to allow him to stay here. Yeah. And I don't know what happened. David had to go to his bedroom and I had to come up here to mine. And while I was up here, the Lord told me, get him out of here. And told David to get him out of here. But he told David one other thing. Because David asked him, I said, can we let him spend the night? Because he doesn't have any place to go. And the Lord said, no, get him out. And so out they went, you know. We had to apologize to him, but we just told him, you know, the Lord said, you can't stay here. And they went. And after a fashion, they all fashioned out. But anyway, that's the words of knowledge that God gives you. You know, you just know, like Clara said, you just know. You just know. And it's not like he said, a voice come from heaven and says, this is the Lord. I have a word. No, it didn't happen like that at all. It's just the man. You know it. And you have to follow through with it. Can I tell you a little story that happened today? Today, the Lord told me to call somebody and pray for them. And I hesitated for a couple of hours. And this person texted me and asked me for prayer. and I should have already taken care of it. Of course, I was, I had to apologize to him. But, when you get those things, you know, from the Lord, go ahead and follow through with it. Don't do like I did. Go ahead and follow through, because you'll bless somebody. Somebody fixing to get blessed when you do it. Because the Lord told somebody else your trouble so you could help them get through it. And it blesses them. It encourages them. That's what this stuff is about, like Rion was talking about, this scripture here. It's about blessing God's people. How many of you know that some of these inventors out here get words of knowledge? I believe Tesla was getting words of knowledge. He even said he was. On how to do stuff. The Lord told me that stuff. I wouldn't know what he was talking about. That's been way over my head. Yeah, Patrick.
You know, he's a pretty interesting dude, but his parents, I guess his father was not a preacher, but back in those days, I don't know what they called him, but he was a leader in the church of some sort.
And a Coptic, wasn't he?
I don't know, quite frankly. There wasn't a lot said in the book that I read about him. There wasn't a lot said about it. It was interesting, you know, the prophecy that was spoke over him when he was born, that he, the midwife, he was born in the midst of a lightning storm, a big lightning storm. Wasn't that the story? And it was prophesied over to him that he would be a son of the light or something. I don't remember what that was, but he would, and I look at him, I don't see anything in his history that I can tell that he was a Christian or became a Christian or was, you know, serving the Lord or anything. There was nothing in the writings about him or in the books that even indicated that. However, I believe God used him to bring about the electronic revolution or whatever, and basically propel us into this age of the future that we are now.
And well, I'll tell you this, Pat, he did say a number of times that he would meditate on this certain bridge that he was trying to cross to find out whatever it was that he was trying to invent at that time to get something straight. And he'd meditate on it, and he'd say, it was just like somebody spoke to me, and he'd have the answer. And it, you know, yes. It could have been, I don't know.
Yeah, he used to, he would build the thing that he was trying to create in his mind first, is basically what had happened. And he had that ability, and I think it was just God giving this, pouring this stuff into his mind, and he would literally build that thing that he was thinking about in his mind, so that when he then went to actually build it, it worked the first time exactly the way it was. And he did that through many things, and I think that he was used by God to propel us into this time of absolute knowledge and, you know, computers and, you know, the space age or however you want to say it. I believe he was used to do exactly that. So anyway,
well, they've already got his free energy set up in places. I don't know if they've got it set up all over. They're trying to get that set up everywhere. And boy, I hope that happens. I like free energy. How many of you would like to have some free energy? Well, God, I hate that bill coming in every month. Go ahead, Joe.
I would love some free energy, but continuous energy.
You'd like any kind of energy, wouldn't you?
any energy would be fine. I was just saying, just thinking about everybody gets the knowledge. Because you love the word, the Lord gives you more and more how you grow. But I was just thinking about the opposite now, say for that people who doesn't know even if they are man or a woman. I'm not sure, once in their life they believe they are a man or a woman, but now they're giving over to the lie. The Lord let them believe. Now, you don't want to follow the truth, but I give you. I give you and I give you and I give you, and you don't want to follow it. I give over to the lie. So he believes what he thinks is his teacher. He doesn't believe he's a man or a woman, so he's just going like that. But that's scary if the Lord give you over to believe a lie. Only way you can get out of it, if the Lord give you something to repent, or a gift to repent. And that's scary, because when it's all the Lord, not even what you're thinking or learning, it's all about the Lord.
Amen. Well, don't you think that the Lord is angry about what's going on as far as trying to I don't know what the word to use is because he set it out and just right, man and a woman, you know, instead of a man being a woman and a woman being a man. Come on, give me a break. That's crazy stuff. Go ahead, Busy.
Just man trying to pervert God's creation is what
they're
doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Trying to pervert it and trying to, and that's where the anti-Christian stuff will probably come out of as well. I can't imagine anybody wanting to be a woman. Come on, give me a break. You got to have a certain up here to be a woman. I'm not saying a bad thing either. Don't get me wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't saying that. It's just different. Go ahead, Missy.
The only way it's going to be defeated, and the main thing is, be defeated in God's elect, you know, those he's chosen before the foundation of the world, is our prayers and preaching the gospel to them. They are so messed up in their minds. They're so messed up. And I, you know, sometimes when I just stop and think about it, I feel so bad for them, because they're so deceived, and they don't know it. And they don't, it's like, I was thinking about it today is like, you know, I was thinking about Psalm 139. Do they not know? You know, it's like I want to walk up to him and say, you know, God made you stitched together in your mother's womb. He made you, you're beautifully and wonderfully made. And he loves you. He loves his creation. He made you exactly the way you are. You know, and whatever, you know, but it's just, those were just some of my thoughts, you know.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about, Lord, how would I, you know, you don't want to have like a format and a form of how you preach the gospel to somebody, but just thinking about it and just talking to the Lord about it. He just, you know, he can show you some things. He can show you, you know, just, you know, what's happened to them. Put compassion and love in your heart for them, because they're so messed up, you know, and it's sad. It's so sad.
Well, I can tell you that it is a concerted effort on the deep state to push all of this stuff in order to cause division and to create the chaos, because that's how they get things done. They love it. They love wars. They love chaos. They love faction. They love division. They love everything bad. and they want everybody to die but themselves. Yeah, Rhea or Claire.
Well, this is me, because I probably need prayer, and I probably need more wisdom. But if I go to Kmart, there's transgender people serving me there. And then if I take my kids to the park just down, two blocks down over lunchtime, this is on the one day that I get to go into a town and do a few things. Then there's transgender people having their lunch at the same park where I let my kids play. And then if I want to go to the little haberdashery shop to buy my child some more craft, there's more transgender people there dressed up as fairies for my children, you know. And so I'm not hating these people in my heart. I'm praying for them. But at the same time, my children also know that this is the milieu we're living in. This is how deceived the world is. But I don't want them to see that. And quite frankly, I don't really want to strike up a conversation, to be perfectly honest. I don't know how. I mean, it's a bridge for me to go to the skate park, right? So, like, I don't know how. But I also don't know that I need to. I don't know that me, Claire, needs to evangelize to every human. I shine my light. As soon as I feel that conviction, I suck it up and I do it, whether I'm scared of being treated poorly or whether I feel foolish for giving a testimony about a possum or whatever it is. Like, I will still do it because I want God to get the glory. But with these folks, I don't have that boldness because I don't know what's going on there. I can't even imagine. And so I would just like to pray, Lord, that you would either give me boldness, if you're putting me in these positions where I see it so often and my kids don't even blink anymore when they see it, it's normal for them. If you would either give me the boldness, Lord, or make me blind to it and make my kids blind to it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All of us. It's not as prevalent here as it may be over there. It's not. I don't see it here in where we are. But I ain't looking for it either. I see the pink hair and the blue hair and the green hair and all that, but I don't see transgenderism that I recognize it. I'll put it that way. Yeah, Missy, you got it up there in Pennsylvania, don't you?
Well, you know, I don't recognize it a whole lot, but when my dad was in the hospital, I passed by a man, and I'm going to say a man because I'm positive it was a man, but he was trying to be a woman. Now, whether he was like, he was a nurse. He was a nurse. And I just like, it's just, I don't know. You just know.
Was he wearing a dress?
Well, he was dressed like a nurse, because no nurses wear dresses anymore. But he was a nurse that he had long hair, and and his voice was, I mean, that was the dead giveaway. But you could just tell it was a man and not a woman, but he was trying to be a woman, and it's just sad, you know. And that's like, you know, that's my heart. What Claire's prayer was is like, Lord, I don't even know how to approach or, you know, and my thought is I wouldn't deliberately do it unless I was led of the Lord and the Lord just gave me what you would call a divine appointment. You knew you had to open your mouth or strike up a conversation or whatever, you know, whatever that looks like, you know. It's just, you have to be led of the Lord. And, you know, if you're led of the Lord, the Spirit, you know, he's going to give you the words, you know, he's going to give you whatever it is he wants you to speak, you know, because I'm sure we've all had times where we were having conversations with whoever, you know, and like out of nowhere, you say something that you weren't planning on. It's like, where did that come from? And you know, it kind of shocks me, you know, it's like,
oh, you know, you have to like stop a second and think, gosh, that had to have been the Lord, because I know that, you know, that wasn't something I gave thought to. It just was there, you know. And so, and I know, you know, gee, you know, there's times when we got times coming where that's going to be absolutely nothing, you know. You know, the Lord's, you know, like Michael's talking about words of knowledge and stuff like that or whatever. You know, these, it's just, you know, the Lord's going to give us words of knowledge that just touches the very depths of people's hearts. And, I mean, I know, I've heard.
Well, you know, they're lost. All of them are lost, and we're not to judge them. So we have to just pray for them and right. love them as much as we can. And show some that love that Pat was talking about, that the Lord wants us to do, be a light to them. And that would be the best way to strike up a relationship with them. Yeah. They are deceived, lost. Love does cover a multitude of sins. Yeah, Pat.
So that love of the brethren that I was talking about being perfected, I believe, is the ability to be free enough to love your enemies, to believe, to love, embrace, to be able to love your enemies, whatever that means, whatever. You know, I mean, I'm thinking right offhand, I'm thinking of the children, the Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. I don't know if there's a correlation there or not, but they so, well, I don't know. I don't know about that. They got tossed in the fire for sure. And, but I don't think you can discern in those verses or that story that they hated Nebuchadnezzar, or they hate and as a matter of fact, that very act was one of those things that brought Nebuchadnezzar into the kingdom later. That was one of those things that, you know, brought him along. So I think, you know, this, it will be through that love that God puts in our heart. And I think not only for others, but to be able to be comfortable in his love for us and all of what that means, all of that protection, all that provision. To be safe and secure in that place, you know. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm running my mouth in here. It is time to quit. So I'll end with that.
Okay. Samuel, I didn't know that you were multilingual. Oh, my God. Merci, gracias. Okay. Lord, we thank you for another good evening together. Lord, I thank you for your love that you taught us in your word. Father, let your heart be our heart. And let your love be our love. And let us love the whole world, whether they come against us or not, just like you did, Lord. I remember what you said up on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, that's our attitude, the attitude that we ought to be taking is, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. The demons are got them all captured. And Lord, I thank you for bringing an end to this war that we've been in. And I praise you for it, Father, that I know it's going to be another one somewhere down the line, but we know through the experience how to fight these battles, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Place it in everybody's heart to pray for one another, Lord, until we meet again, and I praise you, glorify you for all that you did. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Okay.